Want to try a free sample?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, can something this small throw my body off balance? Time to consult the online experts.
Felicia here with 1 million followers. That bite will destroy your metabolism.
You only eat after you're walking 10,000 steps.
Fast. For 48 hours.
Stop it. Stop it.
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time. Cygnos.
Protect your boats and recreational vehicles with FPP RV and Marine antifreeze. It has burst-proof protection down to negative 50 degrees, keeping you protected against freezing temperatures. Keep your winter worry-free with FPP ready-to-use RV and Marine antifreeze now at Menards. Visit us in-store or on Menards.com and shop our great selection of automotive products.
Save big money at Menards.
Champagne Supernova, see you next year.
All right, it's me. I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis, proudly supported by our good friends at Wonderwall Beer. And there you have it. According to Liam Gallagher at Wembley for a couple of nights ago, it is confirmed they are going to be back next year, apparently. What does that mean? Who knows? Today's episode has been a bit delayed because I've just sort of been waiting to see what would happen. Like, is there going to be an announcement? Is there going to be an official confirmation? So I've held off, but no, I don't think there is going to be one. So let's just get moving with this one. Today's primary episode is a recording I did a few days ago, and it's another Patreon phone-in because I've been really enjoying them. And so, hey, let's just keep that going. Getting reviews of the recent gigs. And so this one was recorded before the Wembley gigs, which was last weekend. As you're hearing this, I'm recording this on the 1st of October. So this was recorded before the Wembley gigs. Primarily we're talking Pasadena and Mexico. But as with all these things, you know, we're just generally having a good old chat, hearing lots of different people tell their stories about Oasis. So it's lovely stuff. So we'll do a full review of the Wembley gigs next time. But before we get onto the phone in with the guys recorded from a few days ago, one of the things that came up more recently after that recording was that Ricky Hatton sadly died. Ricky was a huge hero of mine. He was a guest on the podcast. It was an absolute privilege to have him on. I mean, for me, it was when I drew up the list, like when I started the podcast and I was thinking, right, who would I want to speak to? Obviously, you've got the people that are actually connected to the band, you know, the band members themselves, and then you're Brian Cannon, Alan McGee, these people that were part of the group, you know, that were really important to the group. But beyond that, there was then sort of the celebrities or the famous people that had connections to the band. And top of that list for me was Ricky Hatton. I'm a big boxing fan. You know, I grew up as a huge boxing fan watching, you know, late 80s, early 90s, that classic period of boxing, watching like Eubank and Ben and Collins and, and seeing Bruno and Mike Tyson. And so that was my era really growing up. But then, when Ricky Hatton broke through late 90s, you know, I think he broke through sort of around the same time as Oasis, you know, just after. And I think he's about the same age as me. He's only a year or so older than me, I think. And so, I followed his career really closely from first watching him break through all the way through to like winning like a lesser world title, a WBU title, defending that loads of times, then stepping up and beating Costa Zoo. Then going having loads of like these big fights in Vegas and things. And I did actually go over to Vegas. You know, I went over to Vegas and when he fought Floyd Mayweather Me and Joel, who's been on the podcast before, so we went over. We didn't have tickets, you know, we just went because, hey, it's the thing to do. You go and see Ricky Hatton play Vegas. Play. You go and see Ricky Hatton fight in Vegas. And, yeah, it was an amazing experience. Just everywhere you went around Vegas, it was just, there's only one Ricky Hatton. Like, it was incredible. The actual fight itself, we ended up in Caesar's Palace. Because we didn't, you know, it was in the MGM ground. We couldn't get tickets. So we just went to Caesar's Palace where, you know, they have it in the big ballroom there. They have it on the big screens. And it was an amazing experience, you know, to just be there. And, you know, more fans cheering on Ricky Hatton than were cheering on Floyd, even though obviously he was the American. But I think that people just connected with him. You know, everyone just loved Ricky so much, you know. And, yeah, he was obviously a troubled guy and has had, you know, well-documented problems over the years. But he was just such a hero, just so loved, connected with the British public in a way that very, very few people do. And obviously the Oasis connections, you know, we talked about it on the episode when I interviewed him, but, you know, he was the personification of Oasis in a sportsman. You know, he was just a proper down-to-earth guy, Mancunian, huge City fan, obviously. And yeah, and then one of the most proud moments of his life was the fact that, you know, finally they managed to figure it out. Liam and Noel came out to carry his belts to the ring. And Ricky told me about it on the podcast. So let's hear a clip of Ricky Hatton and me on the podcast.
Clear to say, they beat better people than Paulie Malignaggi, although he was a two-weight world champion. But the fact that the lads carried the belts in for me, you know, I've been mentioned for a number of years. I've always asked them, could they carry the belts in? And they never got round to doing it because they always had a gig on or something, or they couldn't make it. But this time they actually did get the chance to do it, and it was something else. And there's a picture I have in my games room where, you know, Liam have both got the belts there, and I've got a belt around my waist. Liam, in typical fashion, giving it the two fingers, and Noel stood there. And I think it's the best picture I have in my games room, because I think if there was ever a picture that personified Manchester, I don't think you get much, you know, working class Manchester, you know, success stories, if you like. I don't think you get much. Much better than that. It was a real brilliant occasion.
Yeah, I remember reading that, like, when Liam held the belt up, you told him, like, well, what you need to do is basically have a wander around with it, and he's actually charged right up to Malignaggi's face and be like,
"We got rolled up in front of Malignaggi's face," and I didn't mean literally in his face. You know, he just went right up to Malignaggi, got behind his face, and, you know, obviously. What do you think about that? It was funny, but it was brilliant. After then, the following day, we flew to Mexico City to watch them do their gig there. So it wasn't just the fight; that was the occasion. It was the whole weekend. You know what I mean? We won the fight there, carried the belt in, great performance. Flew to Mexico City. Went to watch him gig there, and we had they gave us a table actually on the stage where they were playing, and they got us loads of you know, ice buckets with cans of Guinness in and cans of lager in.
Brilliant.
Me and my pals just sat there. We were only you know, feet away from them. It was brilliant. Liam got me up, introduced me to the crowd. 40,000 Mexicans were there. It was a real special weekend that will stay with me forever.
So there you go. Just to give you a bit of behind the scenes, it was actually Tony McCarroll who set that one up. I was talking to Tony following, having interviewed him. You know, he said, "Oh, you know, you should get on as Ricky." And I said, "I'd love to get him on, Tony, but, you know, I don't think that's going to happen. You know, he's not going to do my little podcast, is he?" He goes, "Oh, well, I'll sort it. And yeah, next thing I got the manager's phone number, and the manager made it very clear this was, you know, a very short time frame, and he was only doing it as a, you know, as a favor to Tony. So thank you so much, Tony. It was, you know, as a dream come true, obviously, to interview Tony, but then the fact he made this happen was absolutely huge for me to get to interview one of my absolute heroes. And yeah, I was devastated. I was really heartbroken to hear what had happened. You know, he was so young, so much to still offer, you know, to boxing or to the, you know, to society in general, you know, family man. Yeah, so it's devastating. And yeah, what else can you say? But they did, you know, just to give you a heads up on the September Wembley show's just gone. They did the Live Forever Ricky Hatton tribute on the big screen, which we assume they would do. Yeah, so there we go. And then just to link onto that, really, Liam did return to Twitter recently. So the first one was for Ricky Hatton, that he actually came onto Twitter and tweeted, "Absolutely devastated to hear the news about Ricky Hatton. It was an absolute honour to know him and carry his belts. RIP champ, live forever, LG." So that was literally his first tweet since, you know, the 1st of July, before the tour kicked off. So, you know, so obviously it says a lot that Liam, having, you know, whether he's been told not to tweet or whether he's just decided it would probably be a good idea to not do that, yet that was what brought him back. So yeah, so there you go. He then, just moving on from that, he then tweeted a reply to Noel Gallagher, because Noel or Noel's team did a tweet about the fact that Lech Poznan gave him a sort of a signed jersey, a signed shirt, you know, because the fact they've been getting people to do the Poznan around the world. And Liam tweeted, "Where's mine?" And then just a couple of days ago, he tweeted a few times. He said, "Still free from all temptation. Get behind me, Satan. Lick it up to Raz." He sent a link to the YouTube video of the Grange Hill cast singing "Just Say No," which is, if you don't know, it was like Grange Hill was like the a TV children's drama set in a school. And one of the characters, it was huge in the 80s, and one of the characters became a drug addict. And so it became like a massive thing that, you know, you didn't see like stories about drug addicts on TV at the time. And yeah, so they actually recorded a song, like "Just Say No," like an anti-drug song. So then that's quite interesting that Liam had Liam had put a link to that. And then today, so this was very cheeky from Liam, and this is what has inspired me to go, right, come on, let's edit that episode and let's edit that interview and get this out. So he tweets at 10:58 this morning, "Big announcement coming soon. Keep your eyes peeled." Then 11:02, "Ready?" Then 11:03, "Shall I give you another 5 minutes?" Then 11:04, "Right, this is it, we're going in." And then 11:04, "As expected," he says, "I am the fucking bollocks." That's it. That's it. Classic Liam with a big announcement. He did exactly the same thing a few months ago. So we kind of knew it was coming, but there you go. Good old Liam back to doing his Twitter thing. But yeah, so let's just quickly cover off the rumours. So it sounds like they are going to be back. I mean, we talk about it in the interview coming up, but yeah, it sounds like they are going to be doing stuff now. Now that we've heard Liam say that, it's going to have to happen. Oh, the other thing, actually, talking about Twitter, he did actually tweet and then quickly deleted it yesterday. And it was like a series of Roman numerals that was actually, where it was like MC da 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 da, and then it was like 1-1. So obviously it should have been like II, but it was said 27. So it was like 2027. But then he deleted it like straight away after. So maybe it was a mistake. Maybe he was trying to say 2026 and accidentally did an extra one and then realized he messed up, so deleted it. But anyway, just to give you a heads up. But yeah, look, it's been rumoured to do a run of shows, St James's Park, Nebworth, Etihad, plus then across Europe as well. So, look, we'll see. We'll see. We don't quite know where he's going to go, what he's going to be doing, but we will definitely look out for that. And obviously, if anything is announced, you will hear it here. Well, not quite first, but you'll get the full, obviously you'll hear it on Twitter first, but you'll get the full breakdown first here on the world famous Oasis podcast. All right, look, that is enough rambling from me. The only other thing to point out is that very, very shortly we will be getting the full Morning Glory sort of re-release with the rest of the Unplugged songs. So we'll be coming back and talking about that shortly. But yeah, other than that, let's cross over to me on a Patreon call in with a few guys, and I'll see you on the other side. I'm going to say welcome everyone to the Oasis podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. And it's another one of our fantastic phone-in episodes, which I've sort of, yeah, it's become what the podcast is now for the last sort of a couple of months. But it's, it's really great to be back. And I know it's been a little while, but yeah, I really wanted to get this to get some thoughts, especially people that went to Pasadena and North America. Plus, there's loads of other stuff going on in the world of Oasis. So yeah, but it'd be great to hear from you guys. And so we've got a few people in. We've got Andrew, Brandon, Alejandra, Higgy, and Juan. So I think, shall we start? I think we've got, is there anyone, hands up if anyone's got to be in and out quickly and would really like to go first? No? Anyone?
I got to be up by 1:30. I can go second.
Right. Someone else go on, Brandon. Start. We'll start with you. So we're joined by a bit of an Oasis podcast legend, actually. So Brandon, I don't think you've been on for a little while, but yeah, my official longest ever episode, and for a while the number one, actually, for a while. I think maybe two behind Tony McCarroll. It did a crazy amount of listens for some reason, but yeah, how you doing, man?
Oh, things are great. Things are really well, and knowing all the fervor over the show is over. It's not. And talking to my friends about it over here, that's why we want more. Everyone's like that energy from that. Those, I went to two shows, right? I went to both the Rose Bowl shows, Saturday and Sunday, and got to have two different, totally different experiences. One with the wives on the first night, and then with the kids. We took the two 7-year-old kids the next day, and getting to see both versions of Oasis with those two different elements was something I never thought was going to happen, but it was the most amazing time.
That's just freaked me out, because I think when you came on the podcast and did an interview, wasn't like your wife was just pregnant at the time, maybe?
Yeah, I think we were like episode 36, like right after Tony McCarroll came on.
Yeah.
And it was 2018. So he was born just like 2 months later.
Wow, there we go. Because obviously you had the cancer and everything, and you didn't know it was possible. So there you go. And now your kids are 7 and getting to see Oasis. Oh my God, how amazing is that?
It was one of those things where the summer was primed. We knew, everyone else except for America was like, we love Oasis. I was this thing like, America is like, what are they with Oasis? It's kind of been like almost to me, like a private like fan thing with my friends that are really into it. But this completely changed this whole run up to this tour and going into it. We had family visit my wife's brother from Australia, and his two kids show up in the beginning of the summer, right before they kicked off at Cardiff, and he brought their two kids. They walk in the house singing Oasis songs, like they're like 7 and 9, and they're fans. They're like going, "Stop crying my heart out." They're doing Supersonic, Wonderwall, Champions, whatever. And so my kid, he hears me listen to Oasis a lot, but he never got into it to kids his age. And then he learned all the songs when they'd walk around singing all day long. For 5 weeks they were here. And we were here on the 4th of July. We tuned in to like some broadcast and got to see, here it is, the Cardiff kickoff. And so they were all kind of a part of it. We were like, oh, this is great. Then move forward to the Rose Bowl shows. We're like, now it's happening. It's our turn. And we're going to go see what this is all about. And it ended up being way better than I ever thought it was going to be, because it seemed, standing in the Rose Bowl with 90,000 people, sold out two nights, when the songs are being played, the chorus almost every song got sung back. And I was like taken aback. I had to look out at the audience. I'm like, is everyone singing here? Because it's so loud. And I never seen that with America. And I've seen Oasis like live 3 times. It was never that experience. It was so much energy in the air. So it was like, I thought, we're in a different country. What happened in 20 years or last 15 years? A big change up.
Amazing, amazing. And any particular highlights for you? Was there any particular difference between the two shows?
They're just different one because they're like the second night with the kids is like their first major kind of, well, yeah, major concert, I suppose. One of them had been to a Coldplay concert, the other girl that was my boy's friend.
That doesn't count.
And they, yeah, they got to see all these, this amount of people. So it was more than the Coldplay concert at the Rose Bowl. And then when the cigarettes and alcohol thing kicked off and everyone turned around and started, jumping up and down. They got to see the audience behind them and their eyes went crazy, and then beer started flying. And so, like, and it only landed on the two kids. And they got this smile. I wish I could show you the video. Like, that was beer just got thrown out. It was like the rite of passage for a rock and roll concert, and they got to have it.
Amazing. That's awesome, man. Oh, that's so cool to hear. That's great.
But I
Oh,
noticed
wonderful.
you did mention a couple of times, like, the voices. The most important thing that I got was hearing the two of them, not like harmonies. But the back and forth, like roll with it. I roll with it. It was such a cool song that night, and I was really excited to hear that. And then the slide away too, and it was like a bit of one banger after another.
Amazing, amazing. Anyone else at Pasadena want to jump in? Or have we got to, are we going to, I'm thinking maybe Juan is from Mexico. I'm just guessing that.
No, you're not far off. But no, I went to Pasadena.
Oh, did you?
I'm
Okay.
actually so a bit of a background. I'm originally from Ecuador, born and raised. And when Morning Glory came out, is I think when in Ecuador Oasis was popular, and I started listening to it. And that was in my 12, 13 years old, and so in my teens. So Oasis was my soundtrack growing up, and just the idea of being able to see Oasis from a third world country, it seemed like the most far out, impossible thing ever. And then I moved to the United States in 2002 for university, and then I stayed in the States. I live here now. I live in New Orleans. And then when this tour was announced, I mean, I had to be there, right? I had to make it happen, and knowing that they were coming to the US. So went to Chicago to see them with my wife first, and we went on the seats because I didn't want to bring my wife to the floor. And it was such an all those emotions since I was a 13-year-old just came out. And when Noel sang "Have the World Away," just tears started, coming out of my face. And it was quite an emotional show. And so, but I was looking at the floor, where everybody jumping and going nuts. I knew something was lacking. So when we left the stadium, Soldier Field, I told my wife, said, "Honey, I have to go back. I have to see them again." And so that's when that day I bought a ticket, I bought a plane ticket, I booked a hotel, and I flew out to Pasadena for the Sunday show. So I flew out Sunday morning, and by myself. And well, the Rose Bowl, and I'm sure other people who are here, just to get to it and out of it, it's a mess, right? It's hard to get in and out because of the roads going in and out of it, but the experience in Pasadena was so different because, number one, the stadium is much bigger than Soldier Field. And I got to go on the front. I was probably 10 rows from the stage. And I met two other guys who also flew in by themselves. And we just became buddies, right? And friends. And we still text to this day. We have a group text and we still share. But when the Poznan hit, in Pasadena, and what was being described before me with the beer flying, and it was, and you turn around and you see the Rose Bowl is one of the most America's iconic stadiums, and you see it just jam-packed in the back and people just going up and down. It was so electric. I cannot tell you and this is the other thing too. Like everyone in the crowd had the same energy, had the same, like, there was not a mean person in the crowd. Everyone was sort of, I don't know how to describe it, but it's almost that everyone had the same mentality of, we're here to have fun, to enjoy this. My wife, she doesn't care much for Oasis. I tried my best, made her watch documentaries and such. And she told me in Chicago, goes, it's so crazy how everyone is so nice and everyone's sort of on the same page on just trying to have fun. And I have to tell you, it was so such a great experience. Not to mention, they were never as huge in the US as they've been in the UK. And to see the Rose Bowl packed to the brim and everybody enjoying it was just so unique, to the point where I've been doing my best to try to go to Buenos Aires to see them at the River Plate Stadium. But I don't think that's in the cards. So right now I'm just hoping that maybe 26 becomes a reality, and then I can make another endeavor. But now that I've had that experience, that live experience of seeing Oasis, I mean, I don't do drugs, but I would imagine that's what it's like. Like if you have a nicotine addiction or a caffeine addiction, I have to. I mean, it was a dream come true, and it was better than I ever thought it would be. And one last thing before I go, the song that really surprised me that I feel live is so much more powerful, and that could be a hit on its own, is "Bring It On Down." The
Really?
performance they put, it's so like it's in your face, like rock and roll. I was never a big fan of that song. Now it's on top of my playlist, and I put it in the morning when I go work out and stuff. So anyways, I'll stop yapping about my experience, but I just want to say that Pasadena was everything I thought it would be, and then some. And I'm so happy that I went there and got that second experience on the floor.
Do we have any sword swallowers in the house? I'm being serious. Any sword swallowers in the house? And this one's for the sword swallower.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you very much. Thank you for sharing
Thank
that.
you for putting this together, by the way. This is wonderful. I just discovered this community, and where I live in Louisiana, nobody knows Oasis. You go to an open bar and there's somebody singing, and you give them a tip, and you say, "Hey, can you play 'Don't Look Back in Anger'?" They don't even know what it is. So I feel like I'm in a little island here, and being able to have this community is wonderful. So thank you so much for putting this together. This is awesome. So thank you.
It's all right. Yeah, it used to be like, oh, this is a safe space for all the Oasis nerds. And then it's like, oh, and now it's like the biggest band in the world, Like, what? No, what are you doing? But if you're a part of this community, you are in the top 0.001%. And I hate that. I'll get a message of someone saying, oh, you should talk to my mate. He's like the biggest Oasis fan in the world. And I'm like, okay, but does he listen to the Oasis podcast? No. I'm like, well, he's not then, is he?
You're
Right?
right. I've graduated. I've made it.
You've made it. You made it to the top table. Well done. Well done.
Thank you.
Who's the So Oasis Supernova is in the house. Take it, that's Ian.
Hey man, how you doing? Can you hear
I'm
me
good, man.
okay?
How are you?
I'm good. I'm in the car. Hey to everybody. And so I play five-a-side in Manchester on a Thursday night, but I saw this call was happening, so I've just jumped in the car. But I'm literally just driving down Princess Road. I'm about 500 yards away from Bonehead's house at the minute.
Oh, really?
So I guess that's a bit of a claim to fame, I guess.
Shall
But
we nip in for a cup of tea?
yeah, does he still own that house? I'm sure he sold it
No.
on. I bet he has people hassling him all the time. But hey, everybody, how's everyone doing?
You know what? Well, I don't know if you can see me then if you're driving. Well, I'll tell you what, let's jump in with Andrew then, and then we'll come back to you and Ian once you're about. How are you doing there, Andrew? You okay?
Yeah, doing well, doing well. I wasn't at Pasadena or Mexico, but did have a similar sort of story there to what Juan described. I was at the Toronto show. I was at the show in Ireland, actually, the first night at Croke Park. But then once I got back home and, you know, Toronto was behind me, I said, I just have to do this one more time. And so I was looking at schedules and, you know, my girlfriend said, look, if you can get to New Jersey, you know, it's a bank holiday weekend, you should do it. So, you know, I jumped on a plane, went by myself and was on the floor there at MetLife. And yeah, I mean, for three straight weekends in three different countries, you know, I was lucky enough to see the best band in the world. And so, yeah, I'm actually here in France right now. I live in the States, but, you know, I'm frantically sort of refreshing on Twickets on the off chance I could take the Eurostar and get over to Wembley. But I'm sure there's a lot of other people, you know, in the same boat thinking the same thing. But yeah, no, you know, leave Ireland aside. I'm sure that's been talked enough. But yeah, the shows in Toronto and New Jersey, you know, just being there, and you know, there's a slightly different vibe than Croke Park, but you know, you could sense just a great deal of enthusiasm. You know, by you know, especially the American crowd. I think the Canadians were just, you know, maybe slightly more reserved, and we got a bit of a lashing of rain through halfway through that set. But I really think that this tour has made North America remember how much not only did, you know, it was Oasis a big part of the 90s, but just realize how much that we sort of miss this sort of, you know, vibe, this sort of positive sort of environment here. Because, you know, as others have said, I just think it was an overwhelmingly just enthused sort of crowd that was, you know, fairly together. There was really, you know, no fighting that I saw, or, you know, people just, you know, being jerks or whatever. So, yeah, no, I'm still spending quite a bit of time looking at the videos I took on my phone and just sort of reminiscing and just sort of hoping for the best for 26. But yeah, it was a great deal of fun. And yeah, no, hope they keep it together.
Let's hope so. It's mad, like you're saying about the fact that they did the UK tour and then they've got these extra couple of Wembley gigs. It's like everyone, I think, has got that, like, oh, just one more hit. I just think, and when people were saying that I need to go back, it made me think, you know, there's that famous clip in Lost where Jack's like, we need to go back, like go back to the island. But it's like, no, we just need to see them one more time. It's okay.
We have to go back, Kate. We have to go back.
Like, people in work are saying to me, like, oh, did you see Oasis? I'm like, yeah, three times. And they're like, three times? Seriously? Like, yeah, that's nothing. Like, you could speak to some of my guys like 12 times and all this sort of thing. But yeah, it is tempting to go for Wembley, but no, it's not. It's
do it. Fun.
But yeah. How you doing? Well, you just made a noise there, Higgy. How you doing, man? You okay?
Yeah, good. I'm going on Saturday. I can't wait.
Bastard. And how many would that be for you?
That'll be my third time that well.
Third. Oh, that's not too bad. That's not too
I'm gonna bad. Do the full on fan nerd experience, I think, and do that. Is it the Oasis app where you can go and visit different locations across the city they're in and stuff?
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna go to Berwick Street in Soho.
Yeah.
Get that photo for sure.
Yeah.
I can't wait. And to be fair, it's been a gap since my last one, so I'm like, I can't even remember Cardiff, but I can remember Heaton Park. But so I'm a bit like, I need it again. And I've got a feeling they're going to announce something.
I think so.
I hope so. I think I know. But the, I think it's on, because Nebworth have already announced that they're doing gigs next year, and Glastonbury isn't on either.
Mm.
So it's a given, surely.
It feels like it from that that when he was on Talksport, we talked about last time, and they said, oh yeah, the rumors for next year Nebworth, and he just, like, you know, quickly moved on rather than denying it. And yeah, I mean, I was going to mention
that, the Ticketmaster inquiry was brought to a close today, wasn't it, to say that what, you know, basically the inquiry into what Ticketmaster did with had been doing with dynamic pricing. So Sky released the image of Liam and Noel walking out hand in hand, basically saying that I thought they'd kind of painted it a little bit like Oasis had beaten, had kind of made it look positive for Oasis. So it's really made me think, I bet they're trying to get that out of the way to stop any, like, bad press before they release the next lot of gigs. So I won't be surprised if the next comes in the next couple of weeks.
What is that?
I've not seen that. Is that?
Here we go.
Yeah, there was a public inquiry into the price surge in the Ticketmaster did, and it was the inquiry was complete and the findings were released today, basically. And they've clearly been waiting for that, because I can imagine behind the scenes that's caused an absolute shitstorm for Oasis. So the management won't have been happy at all.
Yeah.
They might be getting more money. I hope they do like a Ricky Hatton tribute as well on the weekend. I think they said they would, but
yeah,
I hope they do.
Just to say, it's on the BBC website here. So Ticketmaster will have to give music fans more advanced information about ticket prices after complaints about the system used for Oasis reunion tour. The Competition and Markets Authority says the company has agreed to tell fans 24 hours in advance if a tiered pricing system is being used, and give more information about prices during online queues. The CMA said Ticketmaster may have misled Oasis fans with unclear pricing last year. No shit, Sherlock. But I know what you mean. So yeah, it's good that that's out of the way, but it would make sense, wouldn't it, to now this is going to be the last European shows this summer, because if they're going to announce normally, you know, all the stuff for next year is being announced now, isn't it? All of the big shows that are going to be at Wembley and stuff next year are all being announced. So really the time is right to make the announcement. I don't think they'll wait until the end of the South America, the Korea and the Japan shows, I don't think. Go on, Higgy.
I was just going to say, presumably the rest of their shows are sold out anyway. So if they're holding it out because they want people to keep buying tickets, I'm assuming you can't, but yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, well, if we announce shows next year, then people won't go. It's like, well, people are already sold out anyway. So yeah, there's no real reason why not, other than it's the marketing strategy, I suppose. But
new album as well, please.
So just to say as well of my Wonderwall beer that I've got on the go here, I've also got a bottle of biblical sauce.
No way.
From Ian. So that's
a little Christmas present from
Ian.
Yeah. Thank you. That was a great Christmas present last year for all the people that helped us out through the year and while we've been doing the tribute band. But I was thinking I need to step it up and think about what I'm going to produce for this year's Christmas present.
Well, yeah, we might, maybe I'll tell you what, I could, that would be helpful, because then I could team up with you and do a Patreon thing. Yeah, give me a shout about that. That'd be cool.
Tribute band.
What is the name of your tribute band?
Oasis Supernova.
Oh, right, okay.
The clue's in the name, mate.
Yeah.
I've just seen it online, yeah.
I just was funny connection to that. Your tribute band thing is that I was going through my phone trying to find for my son a recording of an Oasis song, right? And I typed in and I was going, "Do you want to hear a song?" And it came up from something. It was 8 years ago when I auditioned for a Oasis tribute band. I completely forgot. We only had one rehearsal, and I came in and just did Liam's voice. And we played it, and I forgot. I remember that it was here in Los Angeles. It was odd. These guys were not fans of Oasis. The only reason they were doing it is because, oh, they were a big band, people will come and pay. This was making a money thing. And I'm like, and I showed up, I could feel that they were playing the songs, or like they expressed their, it's just we're in it for the money, man. And you can just tell that's not a tribute band. It was really weird. Like, none of them were trying to really do the songs, but they just wanted to do them close enough. And we did one gig and recorded it, and then not a gig, but like a rehearsal, and recorded it. And I played it for my son. He's like, "Wait, is that you singing with Oasis?" He's only 7, you know. I'm like, kind of, you know, that's what tribute bands do, especially when they're not around.
Yeah,
that's Oasis shit and Oasis ish. They're both pretty good, to be fair.
Oasis shit.
Yeah.
Oasis shit. That's brilliant. What, they're just rubbish?
Yeah, they were good. They were good.
They're really called Oasis shit. Yeah. I've never heard of one called Oasis shit before. There's Oasis-ish. There's Oasis. There's so many different options. But wow. Okay.
Well, with the Rose Bowl, James, I was wondering if you guys, if we jump back, because I'm willing to be here for like maybe another 10 minutes, but did anybody else go to the Rose Bowl show here? I was one other person.
I was at the second night.
The second night. Have you ever been to another show of Oasis's, like maybe over in another part of the world or only in America?
America only.
Did you ever like hear about how the shows are like in like your media and stuff, like how it's just insanity elsewhere, how the gigs essentially go, and then I was kind of bummed out that we're never going to experience that, but this show that we went to and on Sunday, I got a feeling like it was like what it must be like when you're in like England or Ireland or Europe.
I was there Sunday too, and I've never been to a show in Europe. Maybe next year, but. It felt rowdier than Chicago. That's all I can compare it to. It was definitely rowdier than Chicago.
It was pretty rowdy. It was about 90,000 in attendance there.
Yeah. I'd add New Jersey was a lot more excitable than Toronto, but that's, I think the stadium, which has already been covered in Toronto, was, you know, a temporary facility that was way outside of the of downtown. So I say MetLife was pretty close to Croke Park, but I would say that Irish crowd that first night was, I mean, even during Ashcroft's set, you know, the place was rocking. And so that was the first gig I went to. That was probably the most emotional gig I was at, being the first and being right there in Ireland. But for what I saw and people I spoke to that were in Chicago, that were at Pasadena, my experience at MetLife, those big U.S. stadiums, They brought the energy. They really did. I'd be curious if anyone went to Mexico City too, because the video and especially the drone shot that they shared, you know the place there looked incredible.
The drone shots are amazing, aren't they? When you see it just fly in over the crowd, it's like the Oasis official Twitter did like postcards from Mexico City a couple of hours ago. It's incredible, like.
Yeah, James, I wanted to comment on that too, because I was thinking about, you know, some of the content that the social media has put out from the North American shows, and I get the sense that it meant a lot to the band. I think that this was a part of the world that, you know, by their own words, they wanted to conquer. Yeah. And just, you know, Liam's comments, Noel's comments, just the interaction of the band, I really get the sense that they felt you know, the U.S. and Canada and Mexico, and just judging by what they put out, then that actually meant a lot. You know, you probably take for granted that Britain and Ireland was going to take them on as their own, but as we know, the U.S. is a fickle beast. So it seems like they nailed it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's the only market that, I mean, you know, you can say did they break America or not, and you can, you know, argue over the different metrics. But it's the only one really that they didn't get to play stadiums, that they couldn't have just turned up and played stadiums, you know, but, and now they have, you know, and I think it is a big deal, you know, like you said, when you've heard them on stage, like, you know, even in the, you know, they didn't have any, like the social media things that they put out weren't like specific about that for the other places. Whereas this was, you know, this was like a little clip of like, you know, American sort of radio show host or whatever. And then like talking about it. You know, and it's flashing up like, yeah, they're back. They've rocked America. So I think they really, yeah, I think it really means a lot to them that you guys showed up. Definitely.
They've always wanted the big stadiums. They just didn't honestly have enough confidence that they could bring it, that they could really fill it.
Mm-hmm. Whoa, that's controversial.
This is coming from real time conversations that I have had with them. They did not feel back then that it was possible. I mean, you always kind of had that hope, that was the dream, but they just felt that America is just too fickle. It's, you have to play the game the way that they want it to be played, and that was not something that Oasis does. But you know who would be really interesting to talk to about being at several different of the gigs on this tour would be Oasis King, Ben.
Yeah.
Ben, because he did go to New Jersey. He did both nights. He did both nights in Pasadena. And when he was leaving Pasadena, he also went to Mexico City.
What a legend.
Yeah.
I know. And then he's going to be also seeing them again in Australia.
Wow. Nice. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I think he messaged us. He was going to come on today, but he's on the train heading to work or something. But yeah, then we'll have to grab him. We'll have to grab him.
Yeah, we met briefly just in between Cage the Elephant and Oasis.
Okay.
Funnily enough, like Australia is like out of their, all of their tour locations, seems like the place now where they're not as big anymore. Like I've got a few mates. Well, my brother lives in Australia. He's got mates out there since Oasis, blah, blah, blah. But like, no one that I've spoke to out there seems to really know them that well. Don't know if that's a thing or not. But
the one, the only evidence I've got for that is that on Twickets, when you look at like all the shows, it's pretty much you can't get anything. Well, last time, I haven't looked for a while, obviously, because I've not been looking. But when I was looking a few weeks ago, like all the time, like every show, even the, you know, Canada and America and stuff, was still like, you know, one might pop up at like, you know, $800 or whatever. Whereas Marvel Stadium, it was fine. You know, there was loads of tickets available. Yeah. So yeah, that's, I get that impression. But I suppose it's the only country where, you know, you're not going to get people nipping over from other countries to do it because it's so bloody far away from anywhere that, unless literally that side of Australia, that's all that's going to go.
I think they really messed up in back in the day as well, didn't they? Because I think obviously there was that flight problem, or the flight fight or something. But I think there was one gig that Liam was like ridiculously pissed, and he was playing a harmonica throughout the whole set. I'm pretty sure that was in Australia. It's on YouTube. It sounds hilarious. He's just there playing a harmonica in the background when he's meant to be singing.
Yeah. Oh, that's one of those classics. Well, look, the other thing I wanted to talk about was so it's Oasis, What's Thrown on the Glory anniversary edition is going to come out in a couple of days now because we're recording this on the 25th and it's out on, the 2nd? We've had another track released from it from that, this sort of like unplugged, and it's Morning Glory plus a snippet of Wonderwall was played as well, wasn't it, on social media? And yeah, once again, it's weird, and it's not like, I think we figured out what it is, that it's like Noel and Callum in the studio have then like recorded the backing tracks, and then they've taken the original vocals, which are so full of reverb, which is just mad that, like, you know, I think that was just the 90s style maybe, but yeah. And then they've then re-recorded over. And so you get this, like, you know, they've done this Morning Glory one and they've done a Wonderwall one, you know, Wonderwall with bongos. And so there's no way that it could have been, you know, bongos from 1995. Yeah, and I mean, Wonderwall's a strange choice because it's like Wonderwall unplugged. It's like, well, it is unplugged. You know, it's pretty much the same except for like there's no drums. It's just a bit of a, it's pretty much the same. So, yeah, I mean, I think they're fine and they're a nice, it's funny to me that it's not been made that much of a big deal. Like this is like Noel Gallagher has gone into the studio and created music for Oasis. This is like, you know, people talk about the Beatles doing Now and Then and all this sort of stuff. Well, this is Noel making this music. Noel is making Oasis music for the first time since 2008. And it's like, but it's just like, oh, it's been put out. And they've not even confirmed that it is Noel in the studio. It's only on the sort of the liner notes where it's like remastered by them. It doesn't even say that it's new music that's been recorded. You know what I mean? It's so weird, but you'd think there would have been a bigger deal about it. But I suppose because they're not doing any promotion on the other things, and so, you know, it's not like they're going on to Absolute Radio and BBC and stuff to promote it. So yeah, it's just bizarre. But did anyone have any thoughts on those versions?
I loved it. I did like the Unplugged Morning Glory version. I didn't know anything about what you just said there, so surprised at that. But yeah, thought it was amazing. Listened to it loads already, but yeah, love it. Another sunny afternoon.
Yeah, there was a big argument on the Discord about it, and I think there was an article somebody
just shows
published.
How good Liam.
Yeah, I agree, Supernova, and it's I think it's incredible, and if anything, it gives me a little hope that maybe the two will get in the studio and they'll record something. I one can hope.
What did you think, Ian, as someone who actually plays Oasis music for a living? Ian, are you driving? Don't drive and podcast, it's against the law. All right, well, we'll move on, shall we? Anyone else give any thoughts on those?
No, James, I would just add that there's just so much content that's out there right now. I'm sort of looking for the next, live, release, and, looking ahead at tickets for maybe 2026 that, I've enjoyed the acoustic tracks that have come out, but kind of got my headspace in a lot of different, Oasis areas. So maybe I just haven't had the chance to sit and enjoy it as much as I would have if it was like, back during the pandemic, when they came out and released Don't Stop, when I felt like I just listened to that because it was the only thing I could, consume at the time. So that might play a part of it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and obviously we've had the live tracks as well, haven't we? So it's like you've had since I last podcasted. Oh no, maybe the Wonderwall from Dublin had come out. Yeah, I think the Wonderwall from Dublin had come out when we last spoke. So yeah, we're waiting for the next one, but obviously we haven't had it yet. So maybe it was just sort of a UK and Ireland thing, because we got Slide Away from Cardiff, Sig and Alk from Manchester, Little by Little from London, Bring It On Down from Edinburgh, and then Wonderwall from Dublin. And so you'd think really we should have had by now something from each of the other ones. But yeah, it's a shame. It would have been nice to get those. But,
I was just going to say one version of a song that I've not heard before came up on one of their postcards. I think it was an American one. I can't quite remember which one, but it was a version of Champagne Supernova, which I've never heard before. It was like a remix version of it. Just trying to find it on my Apple Music.
Yeah, that was the drone video for Pasadena. And that was a great version of Champagne Supernova. Yeah.
Yeah. Really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really
cinematic,
like that.
Right?
Yeah. Really cool.
Which one was that then? I don't think I saw that. I missed that. Do we know what version
it's
it was?
Like mostly focusing on the vocals and some like the ethereal music that felt like the song. It was like way in the distance in the background as the drone things lifted up in the air, and they had a beautiful camera work of it turning in above the Rose Bowl and coming to life.
Yeah, it's the Brendan Lynch.
The day before the show.
Oh, it's the Brendan Lynch. Okay.
Yeah, I've not heard that before. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, well, you've just admitted that, mate. You've lost 400 Oasis points for not knowing that tune.
I know, yeah, exactly, yeah.
But I appreciate your honesty. You get 412 points back, so you're 12 points up. Well done. that's the thing, the temptation when I'm talking about Oasis and I'm supposed to know everything and I'm like, I don't actually know that, quickly look it up. Oh, yeah, I know that. So, yeah, because I don't know.
By the way, I have a question for the group, if that's okay, JC. Sorry to
go for it, man.
I've been listening nonstop since I think it was June. I forget the Radio X Oasis that they have. I don't know if that's okay to talk about here, but it's been my life savior, and it's basically what I listen to 90% of the time when I'm not listening to my own music. And I think I overheard that it's coming to an end eventually, which I'm very upset about because I don't know what I'm going to do with my time. But do any of you know when they plan to end this marvelous radio station, which I wish it would last forever?
I think it's this weekend.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I was going to say, yeah, I think on the, because I was listening to it, I was in the car going, I've listened to it quite a bit, but yeah, I was listening to it nonstop for, I've had a long drive, so I had a couple of hours worth on there. And yeah, and it was like, as the UK and Ireland shows come to an end, yeah, nothing can live forever or something like that. Mm-hmm. Isn't it? Radio X Oasis cannot live forever. But yes, yeah, so I think it will go. But then it's always down to the listener numbers, right? And if it's, I mean, I can't imagine, because they've got like Radio X Chilled and Radio X 90s and Radio X fucking Mongolian flute music. So like I'm sure Radio X Oasis does more listens than that. I would say just keep it going. If it's doing the listens and people are listening to the adverts, that's what it's all about, isn't it? It's just radio stations.
I know more about British companies that I never thought I would. Thanks to that, right? It works for me.
Oh, dear. But yeah, no, I've really enjoyed
it. Summer, I reckon, or I hope.
I appreciate that comment. The amount of British and Irish culture I've probably learned through Oasis is quite big. So I'm right there with you.
Oasis, absolutely. Just emailed me. Did everyone get that Oasis email that they just released?
Oh, breaking
to America.
What is it?
What did it say? It just came out. It says, "Thank you for having us, North America." Okay. And then listen, it's good to be back. Toronto, Chicago, East Rutherford, Los Angeles, Mexico City. Catch up to the band's epic trip across the pond. Follow on Oasis social media. And then they give the What's the Story Morning Glory is turning 30 thing at the end. You can pre-order it.
Got you.
Well, thank you.
Hey, my money. Yes.
What were you just talking about?
That's what I do love about the radio station, though, as well, is like one of many, many things about this whole tour is it does feel like you're living through a new version of Oasis Mania, which I, before Oasis got back together, I was ready for massively, but didn't think I'd ever get. And so I think when it's all said and done, you'll look back on that year and be like, oh, that was, as an Oasis fan, that was amazing to live through.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, back on that point, I think you made a really good point about, at least in America here, where it went from the experience that we had as fans to a completely different level. But at least at the Rose Bowl shows, and you looked around, the people that you saw, it was like all ages, from little kids, obviously their parents, like me, bringing them. But then behind us were a row of 20-year-olds. Behind them were a row of 30-year-olds. And they were so into it. It was like covering the gap. And everyone I seem to like have connections with were at the show. Everyone wanted to be a part of it, whether they were fans or not. My drummer for my band, Delta Ryan, he got tickets near the end and he wasn't much of a fan of it. We've been playing music for almost 20 years and he started listening to it right before the day of the show. And he's like, oh, this is the band you've been talking about. And then when he saw them live, he's like, he's texting me from down the floor. He goes, oh, that's that one song that we do. That's that other song that we did. He had no idea the reference point where I was coming from with writing, you know. But then we had other people from the podcast were there too. Like we had Grandpa Batman and I think his name's Adrian. He had that the soccer.
The Weekend Kicker. Yeah, Adrian.
We were trying to meet up, but there's so many people. It was hard to get to the areas before and where you coming in points, and we're tailgating out back. So, but yeah, lots of people that all different walks of life came, and now it feels like America is. Like how the rest of the world I've always seen it to be, where everyone's into them now. And it's just a change. It's like wherever you go, people talk about it.
Brandon, can I piggyback on that real quick? Funny you mentioned that. Literally, I don't know if you guys can see, I'm in the office. I just booked a meeting room so nobody knows that I'm doing this. This morning, I was getting coffee in the break room, and I'm humming, I think it was Champagne Supernova, and while I'm getting coffee, and this lady, this older lady's in the break room, and she asked me, do you like Oasis? Like, of course I love Oasis. I said, I just went to Pasadena, and she tells me, oh my God, I just went to Pasadena too. She was there on the Saturday show, and she brought her two daughters, and that was their first ever, you know, gig or concert ever. And mind you, I live in New Orleans, right? I don't know anybody else that likes Oasis around here. And the fact that this lady who's in my office also made the trip to Pasadena, you know, I think there's more Oasis fans than we realize. And not just that, the fact that she's brought her two young daughters and that was their first show and they wanted that to be their first show. I think this reunion could not come at a better time. And hopefully this is when they take over America. And if they... you know, God willing, they come up with a new album, watch out. I mean, this could be big. So anyways, sorry, Brent, I had to follow up on that because I really do believe that there's a growing fervor for Oasis here in America.
But it's having so much joy with it. I mean, I went with one of my best friends here I've met on Craigslist. It's a thing, and I don't know if they have it in other countries, but America, like about 20 years ago, if you wanted to form a band or meet people or side jobs, there's this thing called Craigslist. And that's where most musicians posted. And I met this guy, he's like, oh, I'm in Oasis. And like we started playing together and we became best friends. And
him and I have been talking and living in Oasis for the past 20 years. We were always playing whenever we get together, we're just jamming around, talking about all the Oasis podcast is. He listens all the time too, and all the fans that are on here. But we got to sit there, we're singing these songs, like looking at each other, looking at our wives, looking at the kids, looking at each other. Like, this is like this moment of like just like full circle, but more complete than it ever was. Like, it's like having them back in that voice. That voice was so good. It was just, it cut through everything to from all the way to the end. Even the parts I thought were gonna be hard, and maybe shift keys of the song, they didn't. And then, like, and Noel was just like doing his lead solos again, which we always thought that was a thing of the gonna be a thing of the past, but he totally embraced it. And it's back. That's my guitar. I'm playing again, you know.
Yeah,
So good.
love
I
it.
do agree on the new album, though. I do think if they release a new album now off the back of this tour, not a live album, but like a fresh, new Noel Gallagher written Oasis album, it'll explode. It doesn't even matter if it's shit. It won't be because it's Noel that is writing it, but it'll be insane.
I'm with you.
And
It'll be.
I need it. I need some new stuff. As
Me
much as I
too.
like all of their songs,
And
I
by
think
the way,
Noel's
did
got it in him as well. He's still such a talented songwriter. He
And
just
talking about
needs to
needing it, Hagen, did you see?
crank up those high flying bird amps to fucking back to the Oasis days. Use the same chord progressions, and then everyone will lap it up.
Go on, Paul.
By
What
the
were
way,
you saying?
did y'all see the video that was released today for the Asian leg of the tour? It was the video starts with a bunch of just folks in, I'm assuming it's Japan, from the back, the cameras in the back, and they're playing "Don't Look Back in Anger," and it just shows different people there. And then at the end, it shows an airplane, and I don't know what the letters say because it's in a language that I don't know, but it's basically an Oasis promo video for the Asian leg of the tour. I don't know if you guys got a chance to see it. It was released on YouTube this morning, I believe. And when you said, "Hey, I need it," I was like, maybe I need to go to Japan. I don't know.
Well, I do wonder about this Japan leg of the tour, like, because I'm sure we've all watched Supersonic, but I do, they're going to get mobbed out there, surely.
Another level over
Absolutely.
there.
Yeah.
They did a really good job of hiding themselves in the UK. Like Cardiff, no one knew where they were, I don't think. Manchester, I think it got revealed a little bit, but barely anyone knew where they were staying, which is quite unusual in the modern day and age, but Japan is just going to be a different level, I think, of like crazy fans.
Those guys are crazy. It will be something else. Yeah, they'll be handing them Game Boys in the street like they did in 1994. It'll be crazy. Talking about the Radio X Oasis, one of the things that I've really enjoyed about it, but I mean, it's not massively different because I do listen to one of the ways I often listen to Oasis is just on shuffle, Spotify on shuffle. And so I am used to like, oh, cool, like All Around the World has just been followed up by Take Me Away, and then oh, and Idler's Dream, like wow, what a random, but that'll be if I jump in the car and I've got to drive 20 minutes, and it's like, and you just get like bump, 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 like three like random, like bizarre songs. And I do enjoy the fact that it's not just like the big ones that you'll get. Like Dan Best was on here saying about, I've never heard the quiet ones so many times in all my life. I've heard it more in like the last 2 months than I've heard it like ever since it came out, because I listened to it once and was like, that's shit, I won't listen to that again. But yeah, now it's like bloody the quiet ones and like Pass Me Down the Wine, and these ones that you've never listened to are all just like, but it's great when you hear them on the radio because, especially if you're flicking stations and it's like, okay, that's a decent song, that's a decent song, let's go back to a Radio X and Radio X Oasis. And it's like, I did it the other day, and I because you got Virgin Britpop as well this summer as well, and so I was listening to Virgin Britpop, and then I can't remember, it's Something I Wasn't Too Bothered About came on, and then I jumped back over to Radio X Oasis, and it was Rocking Chair, and I was like, oh my God, this just sounds so good in like the car with the, and when you're not expecting to hear it, and it was something else, really. It was something else. And then you've always got that thing, what's going to be next? And it's like, boom, oh wow. But then, and you get that appreciation for stuff like things like like Hindu Times then kicked in after. I'm like, this is amazing. Like, there's so many songs that I would never just, oh, I'm just going to stick on Hindu Times. I just wouldn't bother. But when you hear it unexpectedly in the radio, and it's slightly different from, you know, Spotify Shuffle, because it is being curated, you know, it is then between adverts and everything else. So it is very cool.
They played some really good live versions on there as well. So, I mean, I'm a sucker for live versions, and there's been some stuff on Radio X Oasis that I hadn't heard before, like Six and Alcohol from the iTunes, and there was like this whatever from the Lowry that just Noel doing it, and the bits and bobs that other people might have heard them. I just not really come across them before, so I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, there was one that came on. You know, when your car, like, it'll only show the first part of what it is. And it was the Master Plan live from the CAM. And it was like the CAM. Well, what is it? The CAM. I'm assuming it's the Camden something, but like, I don't know what version it was. But I think I'll have to Google that. What was it? But yeah, no, it has been great. Funnily enough, I don't know if they changed it, if they started out like this and now they've changed it. But now you're getting like, they don't do like Liam solo or Noel solo doing their own songs, but they will do Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds doing whatever, or Liam Gallagher solo doing Live Forever or whatever live. So yeah, that has mixed up a little bit, I suppose. But
I heard just on that, I heard, well, I was on that radio station today just driving over to the gym or something, but Roll It Over at Nebworth 22 by Liam. Really? That sounds incredible. That's such an underrated song, I think. I don't know if Oasis have actually played that live. I'm guessing they have, but they haven't, right? Yeah. Oh, it's amazing. Really gets me, that song.
Yeah. One of the points I was going to make just about this increase in things, because I was looking up the other day, because there's a video I used. I don't know if it's just research or I ever talked about it, but someone had collated like the Oasis, like the most to least streamed songs on Spotify. And you know, and it's like, okay, and then you sort of go through and sort of list them all. And this was 2 years ago, and I flicked that video on, and then I looked at the current Spotify streams, and most of the Oasis songs on Spotify have had like double the streams they had or more from where they were 2 years ago to now. And I can only think, and I just looked it up, and it was saying, yeah, that, let me just grab it, the impact of the reunion and everything has been like, you know, I think Hello jumped like 1,000% in listens and things like that. It's like, it's just the number of, you know, just the impact has been insane.
On the subject of rankings, and I don't know if this is an all good question or not, but did you finish your rankings assessment of every Oasis, Noel and Liam song and BDI?
What the most recent version I did? No, I like, so just for people that don't know or have jumped in, you know, later or whatever. So for my like 300th episode special, I was like, you know what I'll do? I'll do another ranking. So I haven't done it for a few years, but this time I'll do it properly. And I'll like talk about every single one, do my favorite bit, my least favorite bit from each song, and then also drop in a clip of each song. Whereas the first time I did it, I was like, right, well, these seven BDI songs, I'm just going to group together because they're all just okay, you know. But I thought, no, if I'm going to do it, I'll do it properly. But then I did it. I think I did two episodes of like 10 songs each or something. But then the reunion all kicked off. So I was like, so I've had to park that. And so my special thing that I did for 300 episodes was basically just slagging off Oasis because I talked about my like least favorite 20 songs. Like, that's not necessarily a way to celebrate the band, isn't it? Yeah, Pass Me Down the Wine's rubbish. Like, why did he even bother? They shouldn't have even bothered releasing it. It's like, what a way to celebrate the legacy. But yeah, I do need to come back to that. Someone messaged me. I think they were from China. I think they were, because then they sent an audio message, and it was, and she was like, I love that. I love to hear it, and I love to hear the like the clips of each song, and in fact you said the good thing and the bad thing, so you know you can actually think about each one. So I do need to get back to that. I also need to get back to the A to Z, which is ridiculous that we're still on like H after all this time. And yeah, and there's probably about 16 other projects that I've sort of half started and given up on over the years, but anyway, we're still going.
So going back to the Spotify thing, I was listening to, I had some Oasis come on, was on, and then Everything's Electric came on, which I was so resistant to Liam's solo stuff because I was like, yeah, it's not Oasis. And I heard that and I was like, fucking hell, actually, I'm listening to it with fresh ears. This is actually really good. And then I was like, and Dave Grohl's drumming on this as well. This is pretty good. And then Why Me, Why Not came on after it, and I was like, actually, I know if I feel like my negativity towards Liam's solo stuff has evaporated a bit, and I was actually enjoying listening to his solo stuff more.
I couldn't agree more with that. I was exactly the same with my opinion on Liam's music. I didn't like it at all. I really didn't like BDI either. But yeah, I've listened to it since the reunion. There's some good stuff in there. There's some absolute shite as well, I must say. But like, there's some good stuff in there.
No.
Yeah, I think I was just like, I hate all. I mean, there was stuff that I like in there, but I was generally like, I hate all of this. I love the river. I've always loved the river, but yeah, I was like, actually, this is really good. Maybe just needed a bit of distance from it and a bit of time.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's also now you know you've had Oasis back. It's like you can appreciate that because you know you got the you know it ended and you've got the band back at the end of it. When it was like, oh, this is all we're ever going to get, I'm never going to get Oasis back, then it's like, oh, this is
Yeah.
okay, fine, this is we'll just have to put up with this. Whereas now it's finished and you can look back and go, oh, okay, that is cool, you know, it is great. And now I the big one for me was coming back from I it was another drive. I think it was coming back from Cardiff when I almost fell asleep at the wheel leaving Cardiff when I drove the second night. And you know, there was this massive queue on the M4 coming out of it, and I was so tired, obviously, like having queued up and like spent all day, and then having been the previous night as well, I was literally, you know, a danger to myself and other people on the road, and had to pull over and just sort of, you know, get a load of just eating constantly just to like stay awake. But I was hammering Liam solo on the back on the way home there. I'm just going like, I love this stuff, you know, I really do. Like I think there's something very honest about Liam's solo work. Like there's the I just like the you know, and I like the fact there's sort of stuff like Meadow and you know, things like that are weird, you know, Don't Go Halfway and things like that. It's not just they you know, people would have you believe it's just like Oasis by Numbers, but it's not. There's some really interesting stuff in there. And even things that I remember that I didn't really like at first, like I think a few people got pissed off with me. Remember there's a guy called Doug David Dugan who used to be a big fan of the pod, and then I really pissed him off because I think I slagged off like three Liam songs in a row from Come On You Know. And he was just like, right, I'm not listening to you anymore because you don't, you know, you're slagging him off. I'm like, I'm just being honest. I've got to give my honest opinion. And I just didn't think, what was it? Come On, You Know, Better Days. I liked Everything's Electric, and it was like, Come On, You Know, and Better Days. I just thought, yeah, they're okay, but they're just not brilliant. And I was disappointed, and I did my honest view on them. So come back, David. All is forgiven if you want to come back and listen. I do like them. But going back to them now, it's like, yeah, I found myself singing along to Better Days and just really enjoying it. And then being like, oh yeah, I remember when it came out, like just being like, oh, is that it? Like, is that it? The chorus? Believe me, yeah, that's it. Oh, okay. Well, that's not a very good chorus. But then once it's there and it's just another song that you listen to because you know it and you like it, then it's fine. You know, no, does not every song has to be done in the back and anger.
I think Liam's probably the most talented person in the world when it comes to writing a song about their brother as well. He's
Yeah.
unbelievably good at that.
Yeah.
You're a
That's his
snake,
forte,
you're a
isn't
weasel.
it? Yeah. Well, One of Us is absolutely brilliant. And it was prophetic, wasn't it? Hey, kid, did you know today, 15 years ago?
Hey, kid, did you know today, 16 years ago, it was you and I for the last time? You weren't good, he said, with a smoke ring round your heads. You would see me on the other side.
Hi guys, here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. That's good. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy, can't feel my toes. Breakfast is raw liver. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time. Cygnos.
Oh, Justin came in halfway through and hasn't spoken to us. Are you there, Justin?
Hey, how are you? I was having to do some work, but I thought I would try to jump on the back end. Happy
How's
to be here.
How's it going, man? You okay?
I'm good.
Well, oh, very nice. Very nice. You're wearing the uniform. Well done.
Wearing the uniform. I wanted to join us. Sent you an email. I don't know, you probably get a million of them, but I got this jacket in Cardiff. I was looking for you there. Couldn't find you in the crazy masses, but I've been fortunate enough to make 5 shows. So I got to experience the Cardiff first 2 nights, and I was in Chicago for work, and I said, well, I have to go. And then I dragged my wife to the Mexico City shows. So I've seen a couple of different crowds. All the concerts have been all top notch. It was awesome. But I experienced a couple of different experiences, but they were honestly all kind of the same, all kind of awesome. So it was kind of neat.
It's just pure awesome in different continents.
Yeah, I know on some of the previous podcasts, some folks that said that Chicago didn't have a great crowd. And I got in on Tuesday morning and I saw a dad with an Oasis shirt and his 2 daughters that were probably no older than 10. Wearing Oasis shirts, and that was all the way across town. And we stopped in every pub. We stopped in 3-4 pubs on the way to the show, and every single pub was about 12 deep with people singing Oasis. So it wasn't Cardiff, but it also there was definitely a vibe in the city. And then Mexico City, people were wearing Oasis stuff all over town. And you know, being a town of 20 million people, that's pretty crazy, right? So you know, I none of the other cities were obviously Cardiff. You know, or would have been Wembley, but it's been an incredible experience. It's really neat.
And whereabouts are you from, Justin?
I live in Dallas, Texas.
Oh, okay. So that's annoying that they didn't kind of come to the middle. They did both sides.
Fine by me.
Well, I suppose next you're right down. Well, it's Tex-Mex, right? So actually, Dallas isn't not too far from Mexico City.
Hour flight, yeah.
Hour flight.
No, a couple hours, but yeah. A
couple of hours, yeah. Okay, and how did you... No one's talked about Mexico City, actually, so it's great that you've come on. So I want to get your full rundown of how it was. How did the... was it mainly Mexicans or a mixture of Mexicans and Americans? How did you find it?
You know, I was expecting it to be a bigger mix. It was heavily locals. So we went both nights. I met some folks from Central America, South America, but not a whole lot of us gringos, as they would call it. So, but it was perfectly fine. Had a similar experience to Cardiff in that we sat in the seats one day and stood on the floor the second day, and the floor was just absolutely rocking. So we were in the general A in the front, and it was wild. So, but yeah, heavily local crowd, but still it was awesome.
Awesome. And then what about in terms of banter and things like that, on stage banter? Was there anything that particularly stood out, or did you not understand anything they said?
No. You know, I think they were in super high spirits. The second night, I'm sure you saw Liam was in a playful mood. He was wearing the sombrero and stuff. So I think they connected well with the crowd. Yeah, they definitely, as the tour has progressed, they're building the confidence, or however the confidence was, it's gotten higher, and they seem to be having the time of their lives. So
yeah, I just think it's like the playfulness has increased. You know what I mean? The silliness. It's like at first it was like, we have to prove ourselves here. Like there's a bit of pressure on. This needs to be amazing. Whereas now it's like, look, we know we're amazing. We know we can do this now. And let's just have a fucking laugh. And so Liam with the sombrero and then balancing a sombrero and a tambourine and maracas on his head.
Yeah, I got a great picture of some, like a straw or something. I don't know, but he was having fun. So
yeah, I love it. I love it. Yeah, there's been so many great photos from the tour. They just look so happy. And that's, you know, how many times have we heard on this podcast people coming on and just saying, look, we just want them to be happy. We just want them to be brothers again. Great if we get gigs. Great if we get music. But, you know, for the family and for everything else, just because we you know, we have such a connection to these people, we just want them to be brothers again. We want them to be friends. And it seems to me, like, you know, like we said, if this is fake and they're actually still hating each other and then like assume, you know, going off to separate cars and got to put a face on again tomorrow to pretend to like this guy. No, it seems to me like this has just been 100% genuine and they're just having the time of their lives.
I believe that. Yeah.
Yeah. These could be the best days of our lives. Yeah, what was I going to say? So what about then? So that was the other thing I was going to say. So the rumors are, so let's just focus on the rumors a little bit. So there's no, nothing is confirmed, right? Nothing has been confirmed. There's no, everything that's coming out, and there's quite a few like news stories coming out, but it's purely sources say, right? Which is bullshit. So unless someone knows something, oh, well, actually my friend works at such and such and they know, then all we know, so basically there was a story saying Liam and Noel have recorded up to 8 new tracks in secret sessions with tight security, but once again it's like sources state, so who knows. You know, I could phone up the Daily Star tomorrow and say, oh, I've heard this, and they could then print it, right? Because I'm a source. It could, there's no need for any proof. And yeah, and then the other thing is a potential second reunion tour. And I know that like all the hotels in Stevenage, so basically like the nearest town to Nebworth, are already like fully booked up on the rumoured dates. But yeah, the rumoured dates are St James's Park, Newcastle, Hampden Park, Glasgow, Etihad, Manchester, and Nebworth, 5 shows at Nebworth, which would then beat the record for Robbie Williams. And then Europe, Milan, Madrid, Amsterdam, Paris. So, you know, I mean, it's, you know, I think they will, you know, I think they will. I just given how successful it's been, how they seem to be enjoying it so much, obviously the financial impact, why not? You know, why not just keep it going? It doesn't seem like any sort of hardship, right? So does anyone want to jump in on that?
I think it's all dependent on Noel still, to be totally honest. I think it depends what he wants to do musically. And he's come out and said recently that he wants to do a new stadium album. Well, not recently, probably like a year and a bit ago. But he's only ever going to do that with Oasis. He's not going to start a new band. He's not going to do it with, you know, High Flying Birds. So the time just feels right. You know, this is the warm-up to that, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But do they want to overdo it? I don't know. It's a difficult... I mean, I would love to go again. Like, absolutely, I'm sure everyone on this call would love to go again next year. And, you know, thousands of other people that have been throughout the whole tour. But at what point does it become that they're milking it? I don't know. But I think the one thing that really helps Oasis as well at the minute is, and people might disagree with this, is there's no other band like them, for sure, in my opinion. Not at the minute, anyway. There's been some great bands in the past, obviously, but I don't know what's about at the minute that can even come close to them. So that everywhere's going to want to book them. Everywhere's going to want to pay ridiculous money to have them in their stadium.
Yeah.
I think they'll be, like you say, it just looks like they're really enjoying it. It looks like they're loving being brothers again. I really don't see any reason why they wouldn't do it, other than if they release a new album, it goes down like a sack of potatoes, then maybe that's their legacy slightly tarnished, but I seriously doubt it.
No. To me, I agree with you, Higgy. The amount of goodwill that they have garnered so far, with how great quality the shows have been, how the sound, I mean, they sound, Liam sounds better than ever. And the music itself sounds so good. I think they've garnered so much goodwill. This is the time to do it, right? I think a 26 would make more sense than them taking a year off and then trying to do it all over again. I think that the saying goes, strike while the iron's hot, right? So I think this would be the time to do it. And just selfishly, I would love to see them in England one time before I die. That's all I want. I want to see them in England and experience it there. But yeah, I agree with you. I think this is the time to do it. And gosh, I'm praying every day.
Well, let's hope so. I do, like I said, I do think so. I think it will happen. It just feels right. Noel, we know Noel is the absolute master. He knows, you know, he's playing 4D chess, right? Like they say, how long has he planned this? How long to time in with everything? His divorce, the publishing rights, like every single, the 30th anniversary. He's been, you know, he's like a mastermind sat there, isn't he, in the background? Like, he's plotted this for many years. Whether Liam was involved in that or not, who knows? But it feels to me he knows exactly what he's doing. And to me, yeah, right now, while everyone is desperate for Oasis content, bang, new album. I mean, it would literally be the biggest, forget Taylor Swift's new album. You know what I mean? Forget Sabrina Carpenter. Like, new Oasis album will literally be the biggest, craziest thing ever. Yeah,
definitely. And I think you hit the nail on the head there as well. That they sound great. I wasn't expecting them to sound anywhere near as good as what they did, particularly Liam, if I'm being honest. Mm. But they just, I know I've said this on the other podcasts I've been on, but they just sound so, so good.
Mm.
So, yeah, please do it. Liam, I know you listen to this, Liam, so come on, nudge your brother.
I don't know about that. but yeah, well, look, I think we'll call it a day there. Does anyone else want to jump in and have any final thoughts they want to share with the world and the universe?
Is anyone going to Wembley, just out of interest?
I'm still refreshing on tickets, probably up until Saturday morning, so... Yeah.
Good luck, brother.
Certainly going to try.
I'm
pulling for you.
Yeah, I know there's a few community members going, mate. So yeah, so look out on the Discord and things. I'm sure there'll be a few people there, but yeah, no, I'm not doing these ones. Even if I get James, you know, last minute, you know, actually my mate can't go. Do you want it? That might be tempting, but no, I think I've called in enough favors over the last sort of over the last few months. I don't really think I can blag that one anymore with the family, but all right, well, look, well, thank you very much. It's been great fun, some new faces, some old faces. It's been brilliant, so thank you everybody. I think I'll just end it then with Justin. Before he just jumped off, he said, this is quite lovely, the best thing is how they've been the antithesis of everything going on in the world. These shows have been the best vibes. They're bringing together generations, fans, countries. It's been awesome. So happy to be a part of it. And that's it. You know, we've always talked about, like, you know, oh, there's so much shit, the shit that was going on in the world, and then Oasis came up. Christ, has that ever been more real than now? You know, like everything going on in our country and in America and different parts of the world, like just the fact that we've had this has just been there for us. And it might be a distraction, but Christ, you know, if you're going to give me a distraction, make it the reunion of the best band in the world. Thank you very much.
Take all of all money, bands, please.
Right?
Sorry, go on, Brandon.
I said of all bands, one that, like, turmoil, like, was what encapsulated them. And now it's the opposite. Like, their love together is the opposite of the world, right?
I know. Oh, dear. All right. Well, look, thank you very much, gentlemen. Much appreciated. And ladies, it's been great to have you all on. So we'll leave it there. We'll say stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young. Good night, everyone.
Goodbye, everyone. Thank you, JC. I haven't smiled this much in a while, so thank you.
Bye, guys. Have a great one.
Bye.
Cheers. Cheers. Happy to be of service. Cheers, guys.
All right, so there we go. That was a really, really good fun chat with a bunch of cool people. If you want to get involved in future calls like this, I think we'll probably do another one to round up the Wembley news. Although the next episode will likely be actually on Saturday, this Saturday coming on the 4th of October, I'm going to be at Rockfield Studios with Tony McCarroll, Zach Starkey, Tim Abbott, as well as obviously like Kyle, because it's a Bittersweet Home event, and a bunch of the other guys from the Oasis Collectors group and everything are going to be there. So I'm going to be there. And the reason I'm there, Kyle didn't give me a freebie. No worries, Kyle, I don't mind. Actually, I'm there as a guest of Wonderwall Beer, who are sponsoring the event as well. So, yeah, really, really excited. So it's already sold out. I think it was sold out a long time ago. As soon as the name Zach Starkey came up, I think it's like, right, bang, sold out instantly. But yeah, so I'll be there on Saturday the 4th. If you're going, come and say hello, do some recording for the pod. And yeah, very exciting. And then I think we will catch up and do another sort of phone in. Sort of to cover off people that went to Wembley, and then we'll have to see for the Asian ones. I don't know if we've got enough sort of people from Japan and Korea and things that would be up coming on, have good enough English to come on. But yeah, more than happy to. Plus, yeah, like I said in there, there's other things to get back to. Like there's the A to Z, there's the interviews. Like I've had quite a few people potential interviews that I've just not got back to. So. Loads more to do. But anyway, next step is, Saturday the 4th of October, Rockfield Studios. Very exciting. So if you want to be involved in these sort of calls in the future, then head to patreon.com/oasispod. Make sure you are signed up there from as little as £1 or $1 a month. And then, you can get involved in those calls. Plus, also, I do post occasional bonus stuff. Plus, all kinds of other things going on over there as well. Access to Discord is the biggest one because the Discord is great. It's such a lovely meeting place for Oasis fans. Cool. All right. Well, look, thank you very much for listening. Most of all, thanks go to our patrons who put their money where their mouth is. Once again, head to patreon.com/oasispod to go and check that out. Give us a follow on the YouTube. Kaiser, who is the son of Jackie, who I've interviewed in the pod before, he is doing a bit of work for us on the YouTube channel. So I'm going to be posting some shorts on the YouTube over the next few days. So make sure you're subscribed to Oasis Podcast on YouTube to check those out. And obviously, huge, huge thanks, as always, to Wonderwall Beer for being fantastic supporters and partners of the Oasis Podcast. Do feel free to get in touch, oasispod@gmail.com. Do give us a follow on Twitter at Oasis Podcast. And until next time, stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.